Hi, this is Michael Morrissey with SearchNetworking.com. Thanks for joining us on today's podcast. We'll be speaking with Chip Popovich, co-author of Global IPv6 Strategies from Cisco Press, about what enterprises need to consider as they decide when and how to move to IPv6. Thanks for agreeing to speak with us, Chip.
My pleasure, Michael.
We hear a lot about government organizations and those who do work with the government needing to get IPv6 ready. But who else needs to be paying attention to IPv6, and how soon should they consider moving in?
Well, the government had a very strategic long-term view when they decided to put out the mandate for IPv6 readiness. And I think that that perspective should be taken on and followed by pretty much all enterprises, especially the medium-sized and larger enterprises. Simply because you have sufficient address space today, and simply because you can, you're willing to pay a little bit of extra money in order to manage your applications through NATs and other translational devices, doesn't mean that you'll be shielded from the need of IPv6. The truth of the matter is that the one way to look at IPv6 integration and the one way to look at IPv6 adoption is sometimes not necessarily in terms of what would I gain, but sometimes what would I lose. So good examples are, well, what will happen if your partners will start to do IPv6 and you're left behind and unable to communicate with them, especially if you're a multinational company and you deal with markets where IPv6 is extremely popular. What if all of a sudden you have the need to deploy a lot of new devices like sensors that require a lot of address space? Your infrastructure will not be ready to support it. It will take some time until you will be able to do so, and maybe your competitors already have a head start on in that area. So there are many of these questions that are coming from a strategic perspective on the evolution of your IT infrastructure, on the evolution of your communications infrastructure, that have to be considered when thinking about IPv6. And in that sense, many organizations have already engaged in planning for IPv6 or even testing and integrating it in their networks. The process is not straightforward, is not always straightforward. The networking piece, for the most part, is relatively easy. But when it comes down to policies, when it comes down to applications and services, things might get a little bit more complicated. So starting early and planning early would enable you to reduce costs in terms of integration and do a better job with this integration event.
Is this going to be an expensive transition for most companies, and how can they mitigate those expenses?
Depends. Sometimes the cost of integrating V6 can be relatively expensive, especially if you try to do this overnight. Costs such as training and preparing your staff for supporting the technology, that can add up. Updating infrastructure equipment overnight, that can be expensive. And you have good examples on how all these costs can be mitigated with early planning. If you start early to train your staff one by one and in a prioritized manner, so the right people get the right training early on, then those folks can take the knowledge back into the organization, train other people, and you have time to actually leverage the initial investment that you make into training. Same thing with equipment. If you start early to plan for your IPv6 integration, you start to put requirements in the RFPs that are IPv6 focused, that will help you update your infrastructure through the regular refresh cycles, so that by the time the need comes to actually deploy or integrate V6, your infrastructure is for the most part ready. We have a very good example in that sense. A service provider actually was indicating that if they were to do IPv6 integration tomorrow, they will have to spend several $1 million just on updates for equipment and softwares and things of that sort. If, however, they would be able to spread that or to start the process and the planning process about 2-3 years early before they have to do the deployment, that those costs will be almost minimal or insignificant, simply because they would leverage the typical refresh cycles in order to update their infrastructure, update their equipment, and so on, to get things ready for V6.
Do global businesses and global enterprises face any particular unique challenges or considerations with the move to IPv6?
I think that global organizations are sometimes more exposed to IPv6 in terms of an urgent consideration. The challenge here is that even if the organization or the company has enough addressing resources and feels relatively comfortable with how things are being done with IPv4, they'll have branches or parts of the organization that are in parts of the world where IPv6 might be more with a faster adoption rate, if you would. So in those cases, the organizations must be prepared and ready to deal with these changes in the environment in the local foreign markets. Asia is very well known for high interest in IPv6. So these global organizations might be faced with a situation where certain services are offered over V6, services in those markets, services that they don't have access to. Partners in those markets might start using IPv6 heavily, and this organization might not have the resources or the infrastructure to interact with those partners, and so on. So in that sense, global organizations do face the possibility of reduced business, reduced revenue, because they are not ready to do IPv6.
Is there any real value of moving to IPv6 for companies aside from just having more address space? I mean, are there any other sort of benefits that they can get from being early adopters?
I think to a certain extent it depends on the organization. You're absolutely right. The main driver is addressing space, but not only addressing space for the organization itself, obviously. As I said, you know, an organization can have plenty of addresses to still grow and implement most of the applications that they are interested in for the near future, but the environment around them might change because that environment feels the constraints of address space, of the IPv4 address space. On the other hand, internally, I think organizations sometimes fail to realize the direction in which IT communications is moving. We have more and more devices that we are integrating in our infrastructures, many more than we ever thought that we will. And many more devices and many more types of devices are coming our way in the near future. There is a huge emphasis lately on wireless sensor networks, on various types of networks that are now, various types of sensors that are now integrated in our IP infrastructures. And many of these devices will require IP addresses for management, for data collections, processing of data, and so on. Put on top of your existing infrastructure such a large set of new devices, and quickly you will realize that maybe even though today you seem to have enough private IPv4 address space, that might not be enough in the near future. Already we have this tendency to create overlays in our networks. We have an IPv4 address space reserved for laptops and PCs, another space reserved for voice over IP systems, another one for wireless access, and so on. Now, start adding overlays for sensors, security, monitoring devices, badge readers, all these things into this IP infrastructure, and you will realize that quickly you will run out of RFC 1918 resources.
Well, Chip, thanks again so much for your time this morning. This was Chip Popovich, co-author of Global IPv6 Strategies from Cisco Press.
My pleasure.